6.1, regular council minutes of May 23rd, 2017. A motion to approve the minutes would be in order. Councilor Muse moves, seconded by seconder. Councilor Clancy, second. Any question? Are you ready for the motion? All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you. We move on to 6.2, minutes of the public hearing, May 23rd, 2017. A motion to accept the minutes would be in order. Councilor Fisk, seconded by Councilor Muse. Any discussion? Ready for the question? All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you. I have nothing on the agenda under 7.0, dangerous lawn site and premises today. Under 8.0, economic development.
I'd like to make a comment, though. Those two buildings being torn down really look nice down on Main Street. It looks really cleaned it up a lot.
It is an improvement. The buildings were unsightly, and the work was conducted at the expense of the owner, not the region of Queens, so that's good. Thank you, Councilor Fancy. 8.0, we'll move on to 8.1. I would ask Richard Lane if he would come forward to the presentation desk. Richard Lane is in our economic development department. Councilor Kelly, would you like to take the lead on 8.1?
It is recommended that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approves the renewal of the property lease agreement with the Queens Association for Supported Living in relation to shared occupation of the Liverpool Visitor Information Center for a one-year period from June 1st, 2017.
I'm second, Councilor Curley. Richard Lane, would you like to brief us on that, please?
Sure. So this is a revision and enhancement of the agreement that we had with Quasel in place for the previous season, actually expired May 1st. It really follows the same sort of objectives as we tried to put forward last year. The objectives from Quasel's point of view would include having a retail outlet in the downtown area, an opportunity for diversified training and employment, the ability to deliver special events and engagement in the community, and the using that community inclusion to increase understanding and acceptance of people with disabilities. So those objectives from Quasel's point of view match very closely with a lot of our aims as well. Things enhancing visitor experience, especially in the sort of changing nature of visitor information centres. The year-round use of the building certainly adds to the availability of visitors' point of contact on a 12-month basis. And really just the general promotion of Queens County as a diverse and inclusive community. This agreement would be in place from now until next spring, and follows, as I say, fairly closely. There are some revisions and enhancements to the previous agreement that was put in place.
Thank you, Richard. Any questions or comments of councillors? Councillor Curley?
I see in the first section, Richard, that it says we will maintain a minimum display of visitor information in 4 brochure racks. I thought that Penny Lane had come through with different options for that, so it wasn't so, because if we're looking to change it and we're looking to have a better feel in there, those racks don't tend to...
Yeah, I think there was a little bit of flexibility in terms of what racks we were talking about, so you know, I think there is certainly some room for making sure that you know everybody's needs are maintained here. We certainly do want to make sure that visitor information continues to be available.
Mm-hmm.
How those are positioned, what the racks themselves might look like, and so on, I think is probably there's still room for mutual happiness there.
Okay. Thank you.
Councilor Kelly?
Are we totally funding the wage subsidy out of the economic development budget?
That would come out of the EIC operations
Counselor? Counselor Kelly?
I'm just wondering how we're going to celebrate this partnership, because, you know, I just reposted yesterday where Sobeys has, you know, taken great strides forward in working with people with disabilities and in an effort to make people understand. And so this has, you know, celebration written all over it, and I'm wondering what our marketing plan for.
I think there's certainly a great opportunity to do that, and that's certainly something which one of the items that Quasel Penny Lane Enterprises were interested in was the promotion side of it, and to explore ways to jointly promote the partnership of Region of Queens and Quasel, and that's certainly something for us to be looking at.
Any other counselor? Counselor Johnson?
Just that, you know, certainly it's something to celebrate, but to that end, what consideration, and I've asked this question, but what consideration has been taking in operationally so that it's a smooth operation, because you've got two totally different identities in that building trying to accomplish what the main goal is the VIC experience.
Mm-hmm.
And have we taken anything into consideration, and maybe it has nothing to do with this agreement, but just the operational of how that facility is going to work through the summer months?
Sure, and I think that is something, it is built into the agreement in that one of the enhancements of this was to give Penny Lane Enterprises a more defined role in the delivery of visitor services. So last year we helped them get funding towards the World Host Certification course, and so the job coaches and clients that worked for Penny Lane last year went through that training, and they have spent the winter developing training modules for customer service and visitor information. That's what they've been doing over the winter. So it's true to say that there are the retail side of what Penny Lane Enterprises continue to do down there is separate from the delivery of visitor information, and there is a clause in here which tries to define the role of staff within retail, which is basically to keep those two things separate. Yeah. But that's certainly something that we need to be mindful of.
But as long as it's on the radar,
absolutely,
I can see issues.
Yeah, and it was something that we had to navigate our way through last year.
Okay, great. Thanks, Rick.
Any other counselors? Are we ready for the question? All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you very much. Now we have 8.2, farmers market update for information purposes. Rick, would you like to give us a briefing on 8.2?
So for information purpose, back at the end of February, Privateer Farmers Market presented the council, and council asked staff to prepare a report on the options for a permanent indoor location for the market. And so far, this is the report update that we're providing. The issue for the market isn't so much that one of available vacant space. There are various vacant spaces available to them. Understand that size and optimal size is a big issue there. So some of the locations are either too small, or in fact some of them are in fact too large, and so the market feels sort of lost in a large space. But really, to date, we haven't been able to find any available funding sources that would necessarily build a dedicated permanent structure for the market. So what we're doing so far is continuing to support the Privateer Farmers Market to the extent that we can do from a practical point of view. So that includes things like signage, and we installed a new set of power points on the outside of the VIC building. And we've had to schedule staff time differently on Saturday mornings so that the VIC can be open and provide washroom facilities for the market vendors. That's what we can do right now from a practical point of view. In terms of, we also, you know, tried to assist finding some of the available spaces that were there, and it did actually look for a while as though the Canadian Legion building might have been a really good fit for them. Unfortunately, the Legion does have bookings on Saturday mornings through the year, and so in terms of a permanent space, I don't know that that's going to be possible. But it's certainly something to continue looking for, and if the, you know, the privateer farmers market should really also be looking for available funding sources that can help with that, and if they find anything, we'd certainly be more than happy to continue to work with them.
Any comments or questions of councillors on this? Councillor Hanson?
I see also in here though too is that if they were looking to try to for funding and going forward and saying they would like to build a market,
mm-hmm.
that we would be open to lease agreements with them for lands.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm reading here, isn't it? So that could be something they could use as a basis of trying to raise money if they decide if they want to go forward in that direction. Right?
Yeah.
Any other councillors? Hearing none, thank you very much. We will now move on to 9-0, corporate services. And under that, we have 9-1, social media policy. I'll ask Heather Cook, our communications member, to come forward. Councillor Johnson, would you like to take the lead on 9-1?
Sure. It is recommended that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve and adopt operational policy number 83, the social media policy.
Second for that motion, Councillor Chris. Heather, would you like to give us a brief one?
Sure. In this day of technology, it's been brought to our attention that we don't have a social media policy. This policy pertains specifically to our social media that is online presence, and that's for volunteers, staff, council. So in going through it, you can see there has been some thought put into having some parameters as to what we are able to post about and things that were acceptable or not acceptable on our website and Facebook pages.
Any comments or questions of councillors on this item? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you very much. Under 9.2, we have advocacy priorities, provincial government recommendation. Councillor Muse, would you like to take the lead on this?
It's recommended that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality direct staff to prepare a briefing note for the new Queen Shelburne Member of Legislative Assembly regarding the municipal advocacy priorities for the government. Number one, renewal or replacement of Hillview Acres Residential Care Facility. Number two, recapitalization of provincial roadways in Queens. Number three, infrastructure funding, asset management support. Number four, ongoing leadership and financial support for Royal Internet Solutions. Number five, implementation of a Carter Beach Management Plan. And number six, doctor attraction and support for Queens General Hospital.
Seconded for that? Councillor Fancy. CIO, would you like to speak?
Sure. So we have the opportunity with the completion of the recent provincial election to brief our new member of Legislative Assembly on the work that the municipality is doing and our current advocacy priorities. And that's not to say these are the only things that we interact with government on, but these are the current priorities of the region. Replacing Hillsview, getting commitments and plans for future road recapitalization, again, our asset management, continuation of the funding levels that have helped us do some of our sewer projects this year. We need help on the rural internet solutions.
I know it can't be all encompassing, like we said earlier, but I think one of the huge pieces that's missing there in part of our partnership with UNSM is leveraging for the senior side of the business. And I know UNSM is looking at government for funding, for full funding for the senior safety coordinator piece. And this kind of falls right in the wheelhouse of this particular individual, and certainly something that fits within our strategic plan about making a safe seniors environment. And you know, the wording, my wording about the North Queens Medical Center in there, I'm slowly learning that I don't assume anything is included in conversation. So at that point in time, that verbiage, I need to understand it from my perspective, because my involvement with that strategy is lost sometimes in just vacancy and getting away from the crisis management model that's being used and not dealing with an issue proactively. So those are my issues with that particular statement. Like I said, I know it can't be all encompassing, but if we don't say it in words sometimes, it doesn't get to the table. So.
Thank you, Councillor Johnson. Any other councillors? A very good question. All those in favor of the motion? We have nothing today under 10-0 engineering works. Under 11-0 finance, we have nothing today. Under 12-0 recreation and community facilities, we have a number of items today.
On order. I think I have a conflict of interest since.
So noted, Councilor Muse. We will contact you after the solution 12-1. Would someone please shut the door? So we have Megan Roberts, Director of Recreation, and Jennifer Keenan Dubley, Director of Finance. What a presentation that's a bit. Thank you. I would ask Councillor Fancy to take the lead on 12.1.
Okay. It's so recommended that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve the following facility development assistance grants for 2017-2018 to be funded from the Community Grants and Programs budget line of the Recreation and Healthy Communities Department. Major category. And that's only one there, and that's the Milton Community Association, which is $5,000. In the regular category, number one is Greenfield Recreation Association, which is $1,500. Number two is Westfield Community Center, which is $1,150. Number three is North Brookfield Community Hall, which is $800. Number four is West Queens Coastal Community Development Association, which is $550. Number five is Pleasant River Community Hall Society, which is $400. Number six is Liverpool Baseball Club, which is $250. Number seven is Hunts Point and Area District Number 3 Athletic Association, which is $200. And number eight is Mersey Point Community Association, which is $150. The total is $10,000.
Do I have a second to that? Councillor Fisk. Megan, would you like to print this on this?
Sure. So this is an annual intake process for the FDA grants, whereby community groups submit their applications by April 15th of each year, and the FDA major and minor, or regular, I guess it's called, they're to assist in the construction, renovation, or acquisition of facilities for public recreation purposes, and it's to cover the capital costs, not including land. So we have a set of criteria, and the community groups, you know, give their applications depending on the major or the regular, and you know, we go through the process of figuring out who gets money. Right. So. It is prorated, so their one major is the $5,000, and they match it dollar for dollar. And these are matched dollar for dollar, what we give
divvy up the $5,000 grant line so that we're able to give a little bit of money to all of the applications rather than picking and choosing just a handful of them. We prorate it out so they all get a piece of the pie.
And it's not arbitrary, it's just picking numbers.
Right.
Any other questions or comments, councilors? Councilor Fancy?
Yeah. But also, too, with that, some of these other people have applied for the 5,000, but you chose one and you can't do it 2 years in a row. And also, too, the percentage of these here is according to the percentage of the grant applications they put in. That's why you get offsetting numbers. If somebody put in $10,000 and it was eight of them, that would be eight. $10,000.
We total all their projects according to their budgets,
right.
And then we use the percentage that they make up of that total.
Right.
So it's their project total, their application total, and then it's the percentage of that total.
Right.
Councilor Chris?
In the grants to organizations, the previous group that we had, did everybody receive a letter letting them know if they did or didn't qualify for the grants?
Yes, they did.
I understand that the Greenfield Recall was in that category last time and not notified what the reason was for not getting the grant.
We, in the applications that were moved because they felt that they qualified under the criteria for grants organizations, remember there was three that we moved into the recreation categories, those applications aren't actually denied, so there's no letter of refusal. They're just moved into this category instead.
Well, I think an organization such as Greenfield or any organization should be notified one way or another, even if they don't qualify. Saying that they didn't qualify for that is
noted.
And they really like to have a letter in that. Thank you.
Councilor Kelly?
I understand how you prorate it, but I'm having a little bit of problem with the Liverpool Baseball Club, which is, you know, they received 250, and this is a group of people that are trying to re-motivate, to reinvigorate this group, this sport, and they have a big event coming up in the summertime, and is there any other options for them, or is there anything else that, I know we moved them from grants to organizations, but, you know, they have major costs with seemingly no help at all. And we gave them $250.
And I'll actually speak on that a little bit too. So when they had originally submitted, their application was different and they asked for less money. And we actually went back to them and said, you need to relook at what you're asking for. So had we not done that, they actually would have got less money. So we actually ended up giving them more than what they technically should have got based on the priority.
And we do have some other programs. Anything that's new. So new can be invigorated, but if they're going to start a new program or a new youth event, then we do have recreation funding, grant funding, for anything that's newly created. It can't be an ongoing event, but if they're going to create a new program or, you know, kind of an attraction for a different age group or a different kind of sport activity at the ball field, then they can certainly apply for one of the other grant categories for that.
And did we talk to them when we went back to them and tell them these options are open?
So they also always apply for tournament assistance in the summer as well. So they almost every summer get $500 to go towards their tournaments that they offer as well. And they are aware of the other grants that are available. Yeah.
Thank you. No.
Councilor Johnson?
In our notifications back to these organizations, are in part of that letter, is it going to be some description as to how the prorating system works and why they got what they want? I have a huge disconnect here with what I call customer service. You know, at the end of the day, the people in Greenfield deserve some explanation. And I think the more explanation we can give and the more that we're ahead of the curve in explaining to people, the easier my job becomes as a counselor, for sure. So I don't get sidetracked. But the other side of it, I think that's a burning issue for me across the board, is that we have to be giving more quality information up front to stop some of the stuff we heard today, you know, about if we're going to clear forest land, maybe I'm a little bit off topic, but if we're going to clear forest land after we have an open communication, that to me, the cart's before the horse.
Counselor, what's your comment? Counselor Kelly?
Just it occurs to me, as we went through this whole process as a council to agree the grants to organizations, but this seems to be separate when giving up money. Why? Well, just explain to me why that's different. Maybe this is a general question.
It's a different grant program. It's separate and apart. It's always being staffed. There's no selection committee that's been in place. The criteria is outlined on the grant application and within the policy. And the deadline's different. It's the first Friday in February for grants organizations, and this is April 15th for a deadline. And the dividing up and the prorating according to the total project cost is something we started 3 years ago. The norm before, so that everybody got kind of a higher amount of money for their ask, they used to choose staff, would choose kind of the four most relevant projects, or the four projects that seemed to be the most in need, but I mean, obviously that's a little bit subjective. So we went with this prorated. This is the first year, honestly, that we've had that many applications for the minor, so the amounts would have been a little bit higher had there not been so many asks, but the prorating seems the fairest way to do it. So like I said, we took the total project cost for each application, and then from that total project, the percent that they would have equaled in that total, and then we use that percent to divvy up the $5,000 line item, just so everybody was allowed some.
Yeah, it's fair enough. It's policy then that dictates
policy.
That staff will do the recreation and health communities
mm-hmm.
grants, and that council will do the grants to organizations.
Grants to
okay.
organizations, remember too, is that the criteria for that is a little bit more vague. It's kind of a little bit more open. This is quite specific as far
mm-hmm.
as structural, and then on the recreation assistance,
yeah.
then that has a specific criteria as well. So,
thank you.
Councilor Fancy?
Yes, going back to what Councilor Farrell had said, you have to use a system, and that's what you got to do. You got to go by a system no matter what you can do. Because I feel badly for the Baseball Association because they asked for $5,000 at the beginning because they were doing a dugout. That dugout had just collapsed. And I see they got it up and going, but it's for small little, like they just really got the baseball going again last year. So I hope that this will all work for them. I know they have grants for assistance, and we helped them with the infield and things last year. So there's other avenues of helping, but
I think the reality is that everybody that asked for money is in desperate need of money. It's community groups and community organizations that are run by volunteers. So I think it's really great that we're able to help everybody.
Sure.
And would I love to give everybody the maximum amount? Obviously, but that's just.
Yeah.
You have to have a system so at the end of the day it is, we follow the policy and as best we can.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Any other counselors? Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous, thank you. Did someone ask Councilor Muse to return to council? Moving on to 12.2, Community Recreation Assistance Program, Milton Dam Buster Swim Team Recommendation. Councilor Fancy, take the lead.
I so recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve a Community Recreation Assistance Program grant in the amount of $500 to Milton Dam Buster's Swim Team to be funded from the Community Grant and Program Budget Line of the Recreation and Healthy Communities Department.
Seconded for that, Councilor Phillip. Megan, would you like to brief us on this?
Sure. So the Milton Dam Busters are in the process of revitalizing their organization. they were down to as few as 6 swimmers not that many years ago. They just did their registration, and this year they have 48 swimmers.
Wow.
Up from 25 last year. So it's a really exciting time for them, and they, again, a small group trying to buy new things. All of the equipment they currently have was there the last year I swam and coached, so it's been there since 2003. So it's in desperate need of, you know, being fixed. And again, this is just only going to help them grow the program, because they'll be able to offer different ways of training, and the lane lines will be more appropriate, because the ones they have now are falling apart. And they're going to build this new starting block. So, you know, as much money as they can get is great. So,
excellent. Any counselors like to speak on this? Councilor Kelly?
I mean, it's terrific. And, you know, it's been growing. Natalie took it over last year and growing even bigger this year. And she puts a lot of work into it and as a volunteer. And we've had this discussion here in council before as well, that it all depends on who's running it, and we have those community leaders that step up, and I don't know how we do it, but I believe that the region has a role, because these are important groups, important recreation activities for our kids and our youth. They're important in our community for attracting people here, and that's why I think the region has a big role in making sure that there's succession. Because I strongly believe that, you know, Natalie will put her all into this for these 2 years, and I'm not sure if she's probably maybe already thinking that next year, maybe not. I mean, if that happened, we could go from 46 to 6 again, 0. You know, because I do believe that it has a lot to do with the person that's running it. So, like I say, again, I'm not sure how the region does it, but I think we need to take some sort of a role, and maybe, I don't know if that's your role as recreation healthy communities, that we actually have an ongoing dialogue with these community organizations to make sure that, you know, succession planning is on, and that we continue to keep these groups sustainable and moving forward. I mean, the grant program is one way to do that, but I think there may be so much more in conversations and dialogue to make sure that we do keep these things going and keep them building and building, or, you know, leveling off, so that we keep them at a pace that is, you know, with how many children we do have coming through in our communities.
I mean, I agree, absolutely. With them specifically, my daughter is swimming this year, so I'm volunteering with them as well. But they are creating a succession plan.
Oh, that's great to hear.
Yeah, and where they have this many swimmers again, and I haven't seen this many swimmers since I was probably swimming when I was 12, so it's been a long time. And they, now that they have this many, they're getting the kids interested in again, and, you know, they've got some older swimmers that are wanting to take the coaching course and are wanting to help out, so they're kind of putting these things into place. So I think they are thinking that, but I agree that it's something that we can definitely do to help, even if it's just, you know, hosting coaching courses or, you know, whatever it should be. But
sometimes it's just a matter of, it's not just the swim team, but for all the other organizations that we have, and sometimes it's, you know, it's just keeping that at the fore, making sure that these people are thinking about these things, because I know as volunteers, you're just focused on getting those one things done that you need to get done, but just helping them think, you know, into the future as to how do we keep this going in the future. It's maybe something as an advocacy thing that we can promote and help with them as our role in the region can do.
Any other councilors? Ready for the question? All those in favor of the motion? Thank you. We will now move on to 12.3, sport travel request from Williams, 2017 Canadian National Darts Championship. Councilor Muse, would you like to take the lead?
I move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve a sport travel assistance grant of $150 to Ron Williams, participate in the 2017 Canadian National Darts Championship in St. John, New Brunswick, to be funded from the Community Grants Program budget line of the Recreation and Healthy Communities Department.
Second to that motion. Councilor Fisk. Megan, would you like to speak on this one?
Yes, sure. So we received this ask. Obviously,
12.4, Tournament Special Event Assistance Grant, Memorial Auto Show. Councilor Kelly, would you like to take the lead?
I so recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve a Tournament Special Event Assistance Grant in the amount of $250 to the Memorial Auto Show to be funded from the Community Grants and Programs budget line of the Recreation and Health and Communities Department.
Second. Councilor Frewitt. Megan, would you like to brief us on this?
Sure. So this is to host the Memorial Auto Show in memory of Calvin Minot, Gordon Henley, Gavin Minot, and Reg Warrington. They expect approximately 300 vehicles to be in, and with that, approximately 1,000 spectators based on past. So they were looking for some funding to help put on this event.
Any questions, Council? Councilor Johnson?
Do we also give them anything in kind for that? I know that we go through permits for blocking the street and stuff, but I'm wondering if we offer up like the expertise of a Steve Burns, you know, to be able to leverage a little bit more. You know, I find sometimes we've got that capacity that some of these organizations could benefit from, but I don't know how that fits.
I don't know what was done in the past. I'm not sure. Anybody remembers last year?
CAO, would you like to comment on
I'm not sure what's up with this. It seems like they've got their program run. It's been successful. You know, if they asked for Steve's help, I'm sure that we would talk with them.
Any other council? Council Fancy?
I think it was a great event last year to start off with, and I was already talking to Susan, and like, why not? And she's there expecting more this year. So it's a great potential.
Yeah, for sure.
Excellent. Any other council? Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you. We'll move on to 12.5, Community Recreation Assistance Program, Plant to Plate, Community Garden. Councilor Frewitt, would you like to take the lead?
I so move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve a Community Recreation Assistance Program grant in the amount of $250 to Plant to Plate Community Garden to be funded from the Community Grants and Programs budget line of the Recreation and Healthy Communities Department.
Seconder to that motion? Councilor Kelly? Megan, would you like to brief?
So we've received this from Plant to Plate or the Community Garden, and they're looking to do a fall fest this year, and it's going to be a free event. It will showcase, you know, we're hoping to do some demos on gardening and planting. They're going to have a corn boil. They're going to incorporate an amazing race, which they're trying, all around food, obviously. But, you know, they're looking to do that, and I think it'll be a great event and, you know, bring people to the waterfront, and I think it'll be good. So, yeah, and they're planning that for September, obviously.
Councilors have a question or comment?
Yeah.
Councilor Kelly?
When they're advised, and maybe for the auto show as well, please come, when they're advised that they're successful, and I think maybe that's what this has to be done first before they go through the facility approval process to make sure that they get the property facility when they need it for. Are they advised of that? Because I want to make sure that they don't let that slip.
That's part of it. And so our intent when we send the letter out for this is to include that form.
Okay,
in it,
great.
And then they can
awesome.
Just bring it back.
Okay.
And we already looked at the date and there's nothing else planned for that date.
Okay.
We've got it penciled in until we have the actual ask.
Okay.
Any other council? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? Moving on to 12.6, Community Recreation Assistance Program, West Queens Recreation Association. Councilor Mews, would you like to take the lead?
I move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve a Community Recreation Assistance Program grant in the amount of $400 to the West Queens Recreation Association to be funded from the Community Grants and Programs budget line of the Recreation and Health Communities Department.
Seconder for that motion? Councilor Fisk? Megan, would you like to brief us on that?
It was a good thing. I mean, you got a few people out on a Tuesday mornings, and they, you know, and so I've been there as anywhere from 12 to 20 people usually participating in. So it gets people in the area. And one of the things, I mean, the hall is sitting there not being used, it's just being used for something.
And they used it as a social time too, to just get together and chat.
That's right.
And
just wanted to add, this is good evidence of success of our municipal physical activity leadership program. So, you know, we put in a little effort working with the community around creating some activity out there, and now it's going to sustain. So it goes back to that council's commitment to engage with that program.
Councilor Kelly?
Just a little question on that one. I guess it's all of these community recreation assistance program applications.
Yes.
That program, is there a deadline for that? Is that why we're seeing so many, or are they just all coming at once?
No, there's no deadline, and that's the hard thing about some of our grants is that there can't be a deadline, because it's kind of as things come up.
Right.
And I had kind of kept a bunch of them and just said, look, we're going to take them all at the same time. But most of them have come in since this budget year, and it's just, you know, they'll continue to come in. We still have, of ones I know will come in for the rest of the year, well over $3,000 more that we give out annually.
And
that will still come in.
Second part of my question, what
yeah.
is your budget in this area?
So it's the, well, it's all the grants. So all of our grants are lumped together. So we have $10,000 that goes to our facility development assistance. And then the rest of the remaining gets divvied up between all of our other grants that we have for recreation.
So what's the total budget of that?
$18,000.
So
$3,000 is the hanging basket, so $5,000 gets divvied up amongst these other programs.
Right.
Yeah. So $18,000 is total for recreation grants of any kind.
Yeah.
$18,750.
Oh, so the
yeah.
$18,000.
So then you take off the $3,000 for the hanging baskets.
Yep.
$10,000 for facility development and assistance.
Right.
And that leaves your remaining for the rest of the grants that we have. So tournament assistance, community recreation assistance.
How much are we giving away in the second part now? I didn't add it up.
In
what we're giving away, right? What we're all approving right now.
We're doing through these ones. What? Yeah, we have money.
We have money left over.
So what I did is that I can't fully fund everybody. So I knew that incoming for the rest of the year, I have about $3,400 still coming in. So after we do all of our gives today, I have $3,450 left that will fund the ones that I know are going to come in. If others come in, you know, it is on a
first-come, first-served
basis.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so
okay.
Yeah. So I did make sure that we had remaining for what I know is going to come in.
Councilor Crowley?
Excuse me. I just have a question about, this is health and wellness, and we're talking about how great it is for the community. Hanging baskets seems more as an economic development. Why is that coming out of that budget, and are we cutting back other people that could benefit from health and wellness activities, such as the baseball club, in lieu of hanging baskets, which is clearly economic development?
Community grants is actually the title of that line item. It's not specific to recreation. The $3,000 was added to the line item specifically for the hanging basket. It wouldn't be there otherwise.
Any other councillor? Question or comment on this item? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you.
Raymond had a question earlier, and I wanted to address it under recreation. Is it something about other funding options for Greenfield Recreation Center? Were you going to ask me that?
No, I don't think.
point seven we'll move to next, which is Community Recreation Assistance Program, Queens Recreation Boating Association recommendation. Councilor Fisk, would you like to take the lead on this?
Thank you. Let the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve a Community Recreation Association Program grant in the amount of $250 to Queens Recreational Boating Association to be funded from the Community Grants and Program Budget line of the Recreation and Healthy Communities Department.
Seconded to that motion. Councilor News, Megan, would you like to brief us on the process?
Yes. So this came from Queens Recreational Boating Association, and they're doing a Get Out on the Water event. So basically to showcase what the marina has to offer, their junior sailing program. They're going to have some folks there doing learn to tie knots, and they're going to take kids and families and whoever wants to go out on boats. They have volunteers through that are going to do that. And basically, it's just to bring people out and, again, try to rebuild their program. So they've asked us for money, and I think it's going to be a great event. They've already had lots of promotion go out about it, and the response has been really good.
Any councilors want to ask a question or comment? Are we ready for the question? All those in favor of the motion? Thank you, Megan. Thank you very much. Thank you, Megan.
You're welcome.
Under 13-0 planning, under 13. Yes, Councilor Fancy.
May I ask at this particular time, we always had the Queen's Place on here. Is that going in under recreation? I don't see anything there as a title.
I would ask the advice of the CAO on the agenda for today. Queen's Place.
Sure. We haven't had a separate, we wrote Queen's Place in the recreation at the development of the budget. So, and Queen's Place now is becoming under recreation.
So now if I have any questions to ask about Queen's Place, it would be at this particular time? Is it
sure?
I just know where it was.
Yep.
We kind of lost it in there somewhere.
Proceed, Councilor Fancy.
As we look at the facility, right at this particular time, I mean, all you're getting is great comments right now, what's going on with the skate park and the flowers and everything, and then the developing area in behind there. Are we looking at anything with things like skateboards or BMX bikes or anything that's going to be available? So I just want to be able to put it out there for people. And also, too, signage, which is, we're about getting that every day. People say, do you wear helmets? Do you not wear helmets? Are we going to be putting it up right away? And even what's pegged? Because I've seen people using the bikes with the peg sticking out and they're going along the rails. Is that a peg? I don't know whether to tell them not to or not. So I'm just asking questions here.
Mm-hmm. As far as having things available for people to borrow,
yes.
I'm hesitant to do the skateboard part of it. I'd be more likely to advise that we get scooters and have safety equipment, obviously helmets and knee pads and elbow pads and whatnot. The skateboards are very specific to the person, and I wouldn't really want to get into saying some little kid saying, oh, well, that's the only one you have, so I'll take that, and then getting hurt, whereas the scooters are a little bit easier to manage. But it is something that we're looking into. I've been working a little bit with Liverpool Adventure Outfitters. They just recently got in all kinds of BMX bikes and safety equipment to have available there. I've also been talking with Stu because they at Brady's,
yes.
Because they have also the ability to get in scooters and whatnot as well. So we are looking into it. I'm just trying to figure out what we should get right now. As far as the signage, I don't know.
It's on order.
Oh.
And it should be at the end of this week.
Okay.
But we've ordered the sign. The wording is very specific. The policing of the helmets and elbow pads and knee pads is strictly the RCMP. So we recommend, but we do not consider it mandatory.
And the pegs, what's a peg? So I saw the boys with the bicycles with pegs on, they're going along the railing. Is that a peg? Should I be saying not to do that? You know, I don't want to get in there and say something like, say, you shouldn't be doing that. You're going to destroy this if I don't know what I'm talking about.
CAO, you want to put the
that was asked for by the youth, they're going to self-police that very soon. You know, if you feel inclined to point the sign out, great to them,
yeah.
But I think you'll find that that's self-policed very soon.
Okay.
Because that will gouge and disturb their wolves.
And to that point, they are self-policing themselves, so I try to make an effort to go over just to talk to the kids and whatnot. And they are telling each other, you know, you shouldn't be doing that, that's not safe. The older kids are helping the little kids. It's really nice to see, actually.
Mm.
So it's been really good so far, and I think that because they took ownership of it and it's their park, that you'll see that continue, and it's been really good so far. And they've been coming into Queen's Place because there's no shade over there. So we've welcomed them, obviously. They come in, they get water, they just sit down and lounge and cool off, play Xbox, and then they go back out. So it's been really good.
Councillor Kelly?
I just wanted to put this out there. I don't know what we do about it, but there's been a lot of skateboarders over there. Well, not a lot, but I've seen a few when I've been over there smoking while they're skateboarding. And while it's an outdoor facility, it is still a Queen's facility, and I wonder, you know, at some point, and maybe it's a bylaw thing, but I think at some point it's going to, and especially with legalization of marijuana, that we take some sort of steps or look at it now to how we actually approach that, because it just out and out looks wrong, feels wrong, and to me...
We'll enforce that.
Yeah.
Bylaw,
if we can, if we can have some signage or something like that around that as well. I don't know, because, you know...
I was actually there the other day, and there was someone smoking, and a little kid was there.
Yeah.
And he went up to him and said, "That's disgusting, and you should not be doing it," and made him put it out. So...
I hope he just didn't put it out on...
No, he didn't actually, like...
Yeah.
It was...
That's the other thing as well.
It was good.
Finding butts all over the
yeah.
skate park as well. That's good to hear. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
Thank you. So have we addressed the Queen's Place issues?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now thank you. We'll move on to 13-1. I'll ask Mike McFadden to come forward. Thank you, Mike.
That's all I have to really use in this life.
So, under 13-1, we have road naming. Councillor Johnson, would you like to take the lead on this?
We recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve the naming of a new private road off of Devonshire Road in the community of West Caledonia as Willis Forest Road.
Seconded for that motion? Councillor Mews? Mike, would you like to read this?
Yes, we've received a petition from property owners on a currently unnamed private roadway or laneway coming in off of Devonshire Road. There are four dwellings that are currently located on this laneway, and for civic addressing and emergency service provision purposes, the residents are requesting that that a name be applied to this road. So there's four names of the property owners that bought this roadway at signed the petition. Willis Forest Road was the first name choice that was submitted on the petition, and that name is acceptable to the region as no duplicate road name exists within our roads database presently. So.
Councilors, have any questions or comments?
I just wonder if this name, from what we heard earlier from the gallery, does this name fall in that criteria? Is
yeah.
Forest a region that?
No, I guess the policy for naming of municipal roads falls under that category of consideration of people, but private roadways don't. It's up to the petitioners to submit their first and second name choice. So.
Okay. And just a state of comment, and I made it to the CAO earlier, that a little bit of lead time on this from the councillor in the area, a little bit more than just when we get the agenda. I'd certainly appreciate it, and I don't know about my colleagues, but a little bit more lead time to investigate it and just get an understanding from
sure.
my perspective.
Absolutely.
Open up conversation. I appreciate it.
Any other councillor? Are we ready for the question? All those in favor of the motion? two, streetlight request, Highway 3 in Somerville Center. Councilor Muse, would you like to take the lead?
I move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve the installation of one new streetlight on Highway 3 in Somerville Center on pole in front of the Civic number 7582.
Seconded to that motion. Councilor Frelick. Mike, would you like to brief us on that?
Yeah, but I guess a little bit of the background. We received a request from the owners of the quarter deck expressing concern of the darkness of the area with the customers at both the quarter deck lofts, the new accommodations, and the restaurant that their customers walking between the two facilities, and the darkness of the area. So they have a concern of safety. So with and I guess just a matter of clarification on the map that's included with the discussion paper, the arrow should be pointing to the next pole to the left, which is just to the left of the laneway that's going into the new quarter deck locks. So they're looking at additional lighting for that area for the safety of their customers as they travel between the two locations. So we discussed the request with Councilor Hughes, and he agrees that the area is dark at nighttime. The location of the proposed pole in front of I guess what is essentially the office and the lane light going in is also adjacent to the entrance and exit to Somerville Provincial Park for each of them. So we have people that are crossing at that location as well. So
any comments or questions of councilors? Councilor Muse?
Like you said, they come to us and they wanted two lights first. They have put one up, I'm pretty sure it was installed yesterday. Another one they wanted over by the quarter deck restaurant. We didn't agree with that. I think they got to put some lighting on the front of the building themselves. The other thing is, it is a dangerous area, and it's supposedly going to have a crosswalk. I'm hoping that the crosswalk, they have requested a crosswalk to go across, and it's going to go across to the Somerville Beach Road. And going across, through there at night, it is some dark. There is no light at that intersection with the Somerville Beach Road comes onto the highway. And also, this isn't my light for this year.
So no, you can't.
I said, you already had to.
Any other councilor want to
weigh in? I'm not losing this one.
Any other councilor? This one? Okay. Are you ready for the question?
Sure.
All those in favor of the motion? Raise your hand. Thank you, Mike.
Have we got air conditioning in this place?
Exactly.
I just went and flipped some switches, so let's see where that goes.
We have nothing under 14-0 reports on the agenda today. 15-0 other. We have 15-1, 211 Nova Scotia annual report for information. Ask our CAO if you can put this on there.
Sure. And Councillor Kelly actually does some work with 211 with UNSM. 211 is a information intake call service that provides a very broad scope of referral. So if you need help, and not 911 help, if you call 211, it will help you navigate whether you need financial help, housing, different things, different questions. One of the things we learned is that our county is one of the lower users across Nova Scotia, so put this on our agenda to help increase awareness on it. Our communications staff regularly post this on social media, so Councilor Kelly might have a few words on the value of the service.
Absolutely. I am the liaison the representative for the Union of Nova Scotia Municipalities on the 211 board. Amazing organization to help people What's the Buzz, on how anybody can help advocate for 211 and help them with their services at 211. But extremely important to, you know, always, if you're always wondering about something and not sure, you know, most people will take to Google, but you also have this opportunity to text, email, a website, or call 211 to ask them that question. They will help you as much as they can, but if they don't have information on that, that triggers them to get information on that, and that triggers them to actually report that somebody from Queens County is asking that question. Their big thing is Power BI, which is Power Business Intelligence, which is a program that will help them access quick information to their database and provide that back to us. And it's free information that's available to any municipality, any individual. If you're interested, Raymond, for instance, you know, how many people in your area or in Queens County are interested in housing, affordable housing and those types of things, then they can provide that information to you within minutes. And so it's going to be, you know, the more people we get to call in about anything, whatever their needs is, to 211, the better it would be for feedback to the region in order to allow us to, you know, prioritize our strategic priorities into what we're actually offering, because we know what our residents are actually wanting. So it's just one other stream of information. So very, very important. And I should have brought my magnets, and I have everything. I'll distribute them at some point. I have lots of information, the annual general meeting report, and lots of magnets and information that you can pass out to your residents as required. So I'll get that out to everybody.
Thank you, Councillor Kelly. Any questions or comments of other councillors? I have Raymond Fisk, Councillor Fisk.
I just want to further on the conversation from Councillor Kelly. The 211 there was a presentation 2 or 3 years ago, and I find in the communities that they still have got the word out somehow. I mean, I'm trying with door knockers type thing, that people don't understand the 211. They don't seem to have a handle on things, and the more we talk about it, the better it's going to be.
Yeah.
Councilor Fancy?
I know one of the biggest problems with 211 was they're only as good as the information they have.
Yeah.
And if things need to be updated or anything has changed, it needs to be information passed on, because there's complaints about, well, you know, they didn't supply what I needed. Well, no one told them. They can only pass on what they got for information. One thing I know was, I was down to South Shore Housing meeting the other day when we talked about even like people like renters here, and like you should be able to even ask if I need a spot to rent, even things like that should be on there. So people say, I'm coming moving in the community, where can I look at, or even before I move in the community, what's there and available, than to have to go to council or to the mayor or other people to try to find things. This information should all be stored somewhere so they get access to it.
Absolutely.
Councilor,
I mean, I
but I also think, with all due respect, Councilor Fancy, the 211 is a new program, and they're trying to get all that information, data put into their system, and it will come with time.
Okay. Any other councillors? Councillor Kelly. We will now move on to 15.2. I would ask Scott LeBlanc to come forward if he would. We have under 15.2, Landfill Community Monitoring Committee member. Councilor Crowley, would you like to take the lead on this? Motion under 15.2.
So recommend that the Council of Region Queens Municipality approve the appointment of Barry Fisher to the Landfill Community Monitoring Committee. This is effective immediately with the term ending April 1st, 2018.
Second for that motion, Councilor Fisk. So, would you like to put some briefing on that?
Just a little background on the committee itself. As per Nova Scotia Environment requirements, we have to have a committee in place with members of the, well, people that live in the surrounding area. In this case, we had three members, one from Mill Village, and one from Bangs Falls now. And we had to give them information such as what we report to the Department of Environment, what we recycle, what we dispose, any annual reports due, we go over that, environmental monitoring, water testing, education efforts with residents and businesses. So every year we do this. After the meeting, we do a tour of the landfill and show them all the facilities that we have there. It's a year report.
Like the tour of the landfill. Are we going to get that back on in motion? We were supposed, this is supposed to happen some time ago, and I had no idea we had a landfill community monitoring committee. Maybe I should have. Should I have? No, I would. But
they're not physically located at the landfill.
No, I know, but I mean, maybe as part of the landfill tour that was on the agenda twice before, maybe we could get that back on. So that information may have been provided, like, as part of that tour. I don't know.
Sue?
Yes, in fact, Heather was talking to me last week about rescheduling that. That got bumped, I believe, for some weather a couple of times.
Yeah.
I don't believe there's any sense of doing the tour in the summer, so we'll do that in September.
Okay.
And get everybody around. And the CMC is a requirement of our permit. I'm sure Scott is thrilled to take you through, through the minutes of the meetings.
Any other councilors? Councilor Bailey.
So, who else is on this committee, Scott? Did you say it was more than one?
It's three members, yeah. Currently we have Norman Wenzel from Mill Village, Charleston, I can't remember. Mr. Fisher now, who is just been moved, that he's a member. He replaces Stewie Jenkins. He's from Bangs Falls. Mm-hmm. And the other one is Ken Miner from Mill.
Councilor Johnson.
How does this fit with the intermunicipal council? This committee.
You mean Region 6?
Yes.
It really doesn't. We're just prescribed by the Department of Environment to do this. A copy of the minutes every year goes in as part of our annual report, but we don't report to Region 6 or anything. There's no authority.
How often do you meet?
Once a year.
Okay. Thank you. Any other councillors? Are you ready for the question?
Questions?
All those in favor of the motion? Thank you, Scott. We are now to 16-0 in camera. I would entertain a motion to move in camera. Moved by Councilor Mews, seconded by Councilor Crowley. For discussion. Ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? Move in camera. It is unanimous. Thank you very much.
Not